Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, thousands of euros worth of damage has been caused to machinery following a suspicious fire in Rafow yesterday. Meanwhile, Gardaí are appealing for information after four burglaries in Lifford and Manor Cunningham on Friday last. Letterkenny Institute of Technology has signed an agreement with Chengdu Newsoft University in China, and tributes have been paid today to Desi Larkin. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a man remains in Garda custody following a substantial drug seizure in Donegal today. A property in Remelton was searched at around 3:30 this morning, and the man was arrested at the scene. Over the course of this St Patrick's weekend, Garda say there were 11 seizures of drugs, including cocaine, ecstasy, LSD and cannabis. Meanwhile, 8% of total drink and drug driving arrests made over the bank holiday weekend were in Donegal. 164 motorists were arrested on suspicion of drink and drug driving over the course of the weekend, 13 of them in the county. Gardaí say they will continue to target irresponsible drivers who put themselves and all other road users at risk. Thousands of euros worth of damage has been caused to machinery following a suspicious fire in Rafow yesterday. Gardaí are investigating the circumstances surrounding the fire, which broke out at a farm shed at around 3:30 yesterday morning in Carrick Ballydewey Glebe. Gardaí say the scene has been forensically examined and the investigation is progressing. Garda Niall Maguire is appealing to anyone with any information to come forward.
The day after St Patrick's Day on the 18th of March, roughly at 3:30 a.m. The alarm was raised that there was a substantial fire at the townland of Carrick Ballydewey Glebe in Rafow and near the Biddy Freels. It was a farm shed went up in flames that was used like a cattle type shed, but thank God there was no cattle in it. It has been used for storing tractors and various farm machinery, and there was thousands upon thousands of euro worth of damage done to this machinery. Some of it was completely destroyed. The scene was investigated forensically, and we're just waiting for results back to give us an indication of what direction this investigation might take. I'm appealing to people, if they did have any information in relation to this, or indeed if you yourself were involved in the fire, maybe it could have been an accident that was started, maybe it was people that were there and maybe they were in the shed drinking, or I don't know, but if it was, well then, and you want to come forward, well, listen, you'll be dealt with compassionately and sensitively. Yeah. You know, do that before maybe too much Garda time's put into this. And, you know, because it has been investigated, forensics have been taken, fingerprints have been taken, and we're waiting for them results to come back.
And Gardaí are also appealing for information after four burglaries in Lifford and Manor Cunningham on Friday last. Gardaí say each of the break-ins bear similar hallmarks and all happen between 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 9 o'clock in the evening, three of them in the Commons area of Lifford and one in Manor Cunningham. Garda Niall Maguire told the 9 till noon show today that they are particularly anxious to trace the movements of one particular car.
Burglaries continue to be an issue, especially along the border. Very contentious issue at the moment. We had three in Lifford, three houses burgled, and the houses were completely ransacked. Furniture thrown around the place and drawers gone through. The doors were forced at the back of the houses. And also, we believe it linked to the same gang were in Manor Cunningham at the same time, on the same date. And the times are between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. As I say, it's the same method of entry. There is one vehicle we want to rule out of our inquiries. It's a dark Volkswagen Polo, possibly with MO registration plates. So that's MO registration plates that was seen in the area. We'd like to speak to the owners of that dark Volkswagen Polo. And that's on the 15th of March, between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. Back doors were forced open, and when they got inside, then before they ransacked the house, they pulled all the curtains in the house so they couldn't be seen what they were doing. So that was the same for the four burglaries that day.
Police say more people could have been killed in a crash at a St Patrick's Day disco in County Tyrone, which claimed the lives of three teenagers. Lauren Bullock and Morgan Bernard, who were both 17, and 16-year-old Connor Curry died in the tragedy at the Greenvale Hotel in Cookstown on Sunday. CCTV has revealed around 400 people were in the queue when it happened. Police have already identified over 160 witnesses and spoken to a number of young people to try to establish exactly what happened. Detective Chief Superintendent Raymond Murray says teenagers are not in trouble for being at an overage disco.
To parents, please talk with your children, as I know you will. Please encourage and support them, as I know you will, to come forward to tell their story to the police. That is absolutely critical to us getting an accurate picture of what happened that night. And I think we owe it to Connor and to Lauren and to Morgan to do everything we can to establish exactly what happened.
Meanwhile, the chairperson of Donegal's Joint Policing Committee is calling on nightclub venues who run teenage discos in the county to review their safety standards in the wake of the Cookstown tragedy. Concerns have been raised by parents about safety standards at venues where large crowds congregate. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says that everything possible must be done to prevent a similar incident happening in Donegal.
It's an awful tragedy in Cookstown, and I would like to extend my deep sympathy to the families involved. You know, it come about a teenage disco, or, you know, when young people queuing to get in, and it seems that there was an awful tragedy took place, resulting in three young people's lives being lost. And what I'm asking for is just that, you know, that Letterkenny here in particular, where there's a number of venues for teenage discos, that that those involved would look at the safety regulations they have in place to ensure that a tragedy such as what happened at Cookstown could not happen here in Letterkenny.
Downing Street says Theresa May believes the UK is in crisis over Brexit. The British Prime Minister and her cabinet discussed leaving the EU for an hour and a half this morning. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The infighting continues in the UK while EU leaders are waiting for a clear decision from Theresa May. After a testy cabinet meeting this morning, Michael Gove says they will be asking for an extension.
The House of Commons voted last week that we should ask for an extension, and the Prime Minister will be laying out a little bit later today or tomorrow exactly what the terms of that are. But the facts remain. The best way to leave the European Union, and to leave so in a timely way, is to get behind the basic deal.
But we still don't know how long the British government are looking for. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel can't say if she'll support an extension just yet.
I will fight until the last minute for an orderly exit on March the 29th. We haven't got a lot of time for that, but still a few days. And at this point, I can't even speculate about my decision on Thursday, because it all depends on what Theresa May will put forward.
Meanwhile, Donald Tusk, the EU Council President, was in Dublin today, where he assured Leo Varadkar that the European Union is firmly behind Ireland in all this, ahead of a key EU summit later this week. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology has signed an agreement with Chengji Newsoft University in China. New pathway programmes will be developed in computing, design, digital arts, business management and marketing, while further cooperation opportunities will be explored by the local authorities in both areas as well as the two colleges. The document was signed at the Irish Embassy in Beijing at a function attended by Education Minister Joe McHugh, Donegal County Council Chief Executive Seamus Neely and LYIT President Paul Hannigan. Paul Hannigan says this has been planned for some time.
We've been working with Chengdu Newsoft University for the last 4 years, and in that time we've had a number of staff going over to teach there, and we've also had students going over on exchange, and also we're accepting numbers of Chinese students to study in Letterkenny as well. So this weekend gave us the opportunity to sign the formal agreement, and it really sets out progression pathways for students from the Chinese university to come to Letterkenny IT in the areas of accounting, computing and design.
Seamus Neely was with you, and Donegal County Council has also entered into arrangements with a view toward collaborations on a local authority level as well.
Yeah, that looks like a real reality as well. I know that Liam Ward was involved in one of our earlier delegations, and Seamus followed up this time, and it was a really warm welcome for the council and for further engagement with the region in terms of where Chengdu is located. and there seems real possibilities in terms of tourism links, etc. there. So we will be building on those, and it was great that Seamus was able to take the time to be with us on the trip.
And we're also told that obviously in terms of the world economy and world finance, China is positioning itself very much at the very centre of global investment, global development and global economics. With that in mind, no harm to have close links there if there are investment opportunities as a result.
Oh, absolutely. You know, scale is huge over there. The city that we're linking with has a population of 14 million people, so it gives you some indication of the scale that we're dealing with. And the institution also has sister institutions in other parts of China. So we would hope to develop those links as we move forward. But I think we've made a really good start, and it's been brilliant to see the engagement so far and the possibilities for the future.
It's claimed patient safety is being put at risk because of a lack of hospital consultants. Three quarters of Irish Hospital Consultant Association members surveyed say waiting times for outpatient appointments have deteriorated. They're blaming the delays and the failure to fill hundreds of permanent posts in hospitals and say restoring pay parity would attract new consultants to take up vacant roles. Steve McMahon of the Irish Patients Association says it's a worrying time for patients.
This is a patient safety issue, and the problem is that in many areas of our healthcare system, whether it's overcrowding in the ED department or staff shortages, is putting patients at risk. And patients are being affected by these shortages. While they talk about the number of vacant consultants' posts, there's also posts that are actually filled, but they haven't been taken up.
A public consultation is to take place next month on proposals to impose a 7.5-tonne weight restriction on HGV vehicles travelling through the village of Clady, a move that would have an impact on cross-border traffic between Donegal and Tyrone. The North Department of Infrastructure says a draft legislative document is almost complete and the formal consultation will begin in early April. Welcoming the move, Councillor Melissa McHugh says large HGV vehicles are totally unsuited to using the one-way bridge and narrow streets of Clady Village. He says they should be crossing rather at Lifford Bridge.
When you say it's a major issue, like in Donegal with Clady being a major border crossing, the major border crossing is Lifford, and effectively that's the road that much of the heavy duty traffic in that should be using, but they're bypassing Sion Mills and Stabban to access Donegal via the Bells Park Road. I'm sure SatNavs or whatever does it may be sending them that way, but then again too, it probably, if anything, may save on their fuel consumption and things like it as well too, by taking the shortcut into Donegal or out of Donegal over onto the A5, which one can understand why they might use it. They have to take on board as well to the rural community who live in the village of Clady and have this heavy-duty traffic trumbling through their village at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when vehicles are parked next to their own homes, maybe even finding that wing mirrors and the likes of it are knocked off it. And without doubt, you know, it affects the whole community in Clady, and in particular the local primary school in Clady, just sitting on the 30-mile limit of the town itself. The children are always at risk there as a result of much of this heavy-duty traffic that is using Clady as a bypass into Donegal or out of Donegal.
The consultation getting underway shortly. How long, in your estimation, do you believe it'll be before we see a decision and a policy being implemented?
I wouldn't be able to put a time limit on that. I'm just not sure. As soon as possible. And I know that the people of Clady will engage very much in that same consultation as well too. And they themselves are looking forward to the day that whenever these limits are imposed and that Clady no longer is used as the shortcut.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 16 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with some soccer news. Richard Keogh says Mick McCarthy's installation as Republic of Ireland manager has drawn a line under a poor 2018. Ireland won just one of their nine games last year and began the Euro 2020 qualifying campaign this Saturday away to Gibraltar. They'll travel to the Rock without Shane Long, who's withdrawn from the squad through injury and has been replaced by Millwall's Aidan O'Brien. But Keogh says the squad are raring to make a bright start under McCarthy.
You know, just walking into the group, I think there's a good, you know, vibe. There's a really good excitement about it. So yeah, I just think, like I say, whatever's happened in the past now, we just got to look to this campaign and look to the future. And like I say, with a few new guys coming in who deserve their chance, it's up to us now as players to really try and step up and have a really good qualifying campaign.
Meanwhile, Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill knows his side must make the most of their opening two fixtures if they're to qualify for Euro 2020. They face Estonia on Thursday before hosting Belarus on Sunday, both games at Windsor Park. O'Neill says with games against Germany and the Netherlands to come, they must pick up 6 points.
We know the significance of these two games. We know these two games will be difficult as well. But thankfully in the last two campaigns, you know, our record has been very good against the teams that are in the pots below us, and we have to maintain that in this campaign as well.
In other news, Everton manager Marco Silva has been fined £12,000 after accepting an FA charge of improper conduct. He went onto the pitch to confront the referee at the end of the Premier League defeat to Newcastle earlier this month. And Paris Saint-Germain, they've won an important legal battle at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. An appeal by PSG against UEFA reopening an already closed investigation into alleged breaches of financial fair play rules has been upheld by CAS. The case is separate to another UEFA investigation into PSG's 2017-18 finances when they signed both Neymar and Kylian Mbappe. The dates and times for the FA Cup semi-finals have been confirmed. Manchester City continue their quest for an unprecedented quadruple against Chris Hughton's Brighton on Saturday the 6th of April. The Wembley match will start at 5:30. The other last four encounter between Watford and Wolves will be played at the same venue a day later, but will kick off at 4 o'clock. On the pitch tonight in the Irish Premiership, there's two games down for decision. Second place Ballymena, they host Institute. And third place Crusaders, they travel to play Warren Point Town. FEI Schools Minor B Girls National Cup semi-final today. There was good news for Colostia Alia of Letterkenny. They defeated St Patrick's College Lacken Cross by 3-2. Erin Ní Doherty, Eva Arrigan and Clodagh Ní Sheeran got the goals for the Letterkenny outfit. It had been 2-2 at full time up in McSherry Park today, but Colostia Alia went through to the final of that Minor B Girls National Cup, so well done to them. Tomorrow, there's a Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup final on. Karen Donagh Community School, they play Middleton CBS. It's at Home Farm in Whitehall in Dublin. Kick-off tomorrow is at 1 o'clock. In rugby, Ian Henderson remains a doubt for Ulster's Heineken Champions Cup quarter-final with Leinster. The second row suffered a knee injury in Ireland's Six Nations win over France and missed the defeat to Wales as a result. Henderson's injury has been taken day by day by the coaching staff. However, Will Addison and Craig Gilroy will both miss the game through injury. And Alison Muller says it's been an honour and a privilege to play for her country as she announces her retirement. The 34-year-old winger made her Ireland debut in 2010 and was a member of the Grand Slam winning side of 2013. Muller only returned from a career-threatening double leg break during this season's Six Nations. In Gaelic games, Owen Brosnan has announced he's retiring from club football. The three-time All-Ireland winner with Kerry says Monday's All-Ireland club final defeat to Cora Finn was his final game with Dr. Crokes. The 39-year-old says it's time to hang up his boots after 22 years with the Crokes senior side. In golf, Patrick Harrington says his wrist may not be 100% for the next 6 to 9 months. The three-time major winner will make his return at this week's Maybank Challenge in Malaysia after suffering a broken wrist at home over the new year. Harrington's also confirmed that he'll play at this year's Irish Open at Lahinch. In boxing, heavyweight boxing champion Deontay Wilder will defend his WBC belt against fellow American Dominic Brazil. The fight takes place on May the 18th, meaning a potential bout with WBA, IBF and WBO world title holder Anthony Joshua, or a rematch against Tyson Fury won't take place until a later part of this year at the earliest. And it's also been confirmed that Josh Warrington will defend his IBF world featherweight crown against mandatory challenger Kid Galahad on the 15th of June at the Leeds Arena. He beat Carl Frampton on his first defence in December and is unbeaten in 28 fights. Sheffield's Galahad is also unbeaten in 26 bouts. Finally for this evening in cycling, Britain's richest man, Jim Ratcliffe, has completed his takeover of the Team Sky cycling outfit. The team will be renamed as Team Ineos and will start competing at the Tour de Yorkshire in Doncaster on the 2nd of May. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the Fianna Fáil leader has offered his sympathies to the family of Desi Largan, who died suddenly yesterday. Micheál Martin said Desi was a proud Donegal and Letterkenny man who was the quintessential community activist and supported all efforts to improve and enhance the town and county. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Seamus O'Donnell, has also paid tribute to the late Mr. Largan alongside Minister Joe McHugh, who recalled how he and Desi both entered the Donegal County Council chamber for the first time 20 years ago on the 11th of June 1999. Former Fianna Fáil deputy Niall Blaney was a political colleague and close friend of the former Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council.
For somebody to leave politics and look for a new route in life, it's a difficult thing to do. And it's what he done. And he also went back and education. And it's only people that, I suppose, done something like that, went back into the education route that he took, it says an awful lot about his commitment to his family and his passion for making sure that they had a good life ahead of them.
The number of cases of mumps in Ireland is up by over 600% compared to the same period last year. There have been more cases of the highly contagious disease in the first 11 weeks of 2019 than all of last year. The latest figures from the HSE show there have been 593 reports of mumps so far, with the majority of cases among teenagers and young adults. Dr. Suzanne Cotter, specialist in public health medicine, outlines the volume of cases reported.
Generally over 40 each week, and in the most recent 2 weeks we've seen over 70 reported. The age group most affected is the 15 to 24 year age group, and most regions of the country are experiencing an increase in mumps in that age group. The areas most affected currently are the Dublin area, followed by the northeast, and then the western area being Galway, Roscommon and Mayo.
For weather now, it will be mild and mostly dry this evening, with a few bright or sunny spells in moderate southwest to westerly winds. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a man remains in Garda custody following a substantial drug seizure in Donegal today. A property in Remelton was searched at around 3:30 this morning, and the man was arrested at the scene. Thousands of euros worth of damage has been caused to machinery following a suspicious fire in Rafoe yesterday. Gardaí are investigating the circumstances surrounding the fire, which broke out at a farm shed at around 3:30 yesterday morning in the Carrick Ballydoy Glebe area. The chairperson of Donegal's Joint Policing Committee is calling on nightclub venues who run teenage discos in the county to review their safety standards in the wake of the Cookstown tragedy. Concerns have been raised by parents about safety standards at venues where large crowds congregate. And the Fianna Fáil leader has offered his sympathies to the family of Desi Largan, who died suddenly yesterday. Micheál Martin said Desi was a proud Donegal and Letterkenny man who was the quintessential community activist and supported all efforts to improve and enhance the town and county. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, March the 19th. The death has taken place of Desi Largan, Dún Glebe, Newmills, Letterkenny. Desi's remains will repose at his late residence from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning and on Thursday until Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Friday, going to St. Junan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, donations if wished to Pieta House, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sadie Colley, Brinnelach, Gidor. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St. Colum Kills Church, Knockfola, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary at 9 o'clock with house private after the rosary until 10 o'clock. The death has occurred of Johnny Clinton, Lagboy, Tamney Fanid. His remains will leave his residence on Thursday morning at 11:30, going to St. Columbus Church Mass Mount for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary each night at 10 o'clock. The death has taken place of Alice Coyle, Nae McBride, 164 Glen Ellie Road, Mina Cran, Crana. Alice's remains will leave her late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crana, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only and donations if desired in lieu to Marie Curie, care of Kieran Kirk Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Kathleen Ruddy, Nae Kelly, Lara Hurl, Kuldaff and formerly of Ballybunabare, Termin. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church at Bogan Kuldaff. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time before the funeral tomorrow morning, please. Family flowers only or, if desired, donations in lieu to Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home Buncrana, care of Liam Collins Funeral Director or any family member. The death has occurred of Hugh Tinney, 99, Mourne Park, Newton Stewart, formerly of Mondowie Manor, Cunningham. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral leaving there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Oratory, Main Street, Newton Stewart, with burial afterwards in Glenoch Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Mary Bim Coyle, Dunwiley, Stranorler. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, St Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.